Praise God. The Lord is in the house tonight. Just so humbled by his presence. What a privilege. What an honor to be here. I have like a little thump in my heart tonight because it's getting late, guys. Jesus is coming back soon, and it's time for the church to arise in resurrection power and show the world that we're evidence that Christ is risen. Amen? Amen. And I want to speak to you tonight about resurrection right here, right now. And I want you to open up your Bibles and turn to John 11. And I'm going to begin to pray. Spirit of the resurrection, Spirit of the living God, Spirit of Christ, rise up tonight. Rise up. Let it rise tonight, Lord. Open up our hearts. Open up our minds. Lord, I ask you to come in a way, Lord, that you would devastate the camp of the enemy tonight. That you would open up graves and pluck out anything and everything and all that's in the grip of the enemy. Lord, I thank you that you have risen and sin is broken and that you are stronger and that you are greater and that you are here tonight. So, Lord, I'm asking you to have your way in this place tonight. And Lord, I pray that in the name of Jesus, you would break the back of unbelief and you would release your power, you would release your presence, and Holy Ghost, you will take complete control. Lord, every heart touch, minister to, make the crooked way straight, and call out, oh God, everyone, minds, emotions, oh Lord, hearts that are wounded, call them out of the graves tonight, Lord. And I thank you, God, for what you're going to do in this place. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen. Hallelujah. If you believe, you will see the glory of God. Amen. If you believe, it's a choice. It's faith. It's all about faith. I want to read verses 1 to 6. We're going to skip around a little bit because everybody's familiar with John 11. Amen. So we're just going to do a quick read and draw from the scriptures, and then we're going to get to it. Verse 1 says, a man named Lazarus was sick. He lived in Bethany with his sisters, Mary and Martha. This is the Mary who later poured the expensive perfume on the Lord's feet and wiped them with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was sick. So the two sisters sent a message to Jesus telling him, Lord, your dear friend is very sick. But when Jesus heard about it, he said, Lazarus' sickness will not end in death. No, it'll happen for the glory of God, so that the Son of God will receive glory from this. So although Jesus loved Martha and Mary and Lazarus, he stayed where he was for the next 2 days. Skip down to verse 12. The disciple says, Lord, if he is sleeping, he will soon get better. They thought Jesus meant Lazarus was simply sleeping, but Jesus meant Lazarus was dead. He answered and told them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And for your sakes, I'm glad I wasn't here. For now, you will really believe. Come, let's go see him. Verse 23, your brother will rise again. Yes, Martha said, he will rise when everyone else rises. At the last day, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. Everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this, Martha? Hallelujah. Verse 23. Verse 40. It says, Jesus responded, didn't I tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? If you would believe, you would see the glory of God. As if Jesus wraps up this whole chapter, wraps up all of Christianity to believe. It's all about believing in him. It's not what we could do for him. It's not what we can read about. It's not how many prayers we pray. He said, if you believe, you would see the glory of God. It's an amazing statement he's saying to them because Lazarus is dead. He's dead. He couldn't get any more deader. Amen? And he's saying, if you believe, you will see the glory of God. Your brother will rise. I am the resurrection and the life. Do you believe this? I want to ask you tonight, do you believe that all things are possible with God? Do you believe there's nothing impossible with God? It says here, the man Lazarus was dead. And this word man means, it means sin sick. It means to be made weak. It means without strength and powerless. I want to suggest to you tonight that Lazarus is a type of a believer. A type of someone who has this sin sick, this Adamic nature in us that we feel powerless. We're hopeless at times. This is what the sin of the law of sin and death works in us. But the name Lazarus, see the man, the old man is sick and dead. Amen? The name Lazarus means whom God helps. It also means the poor, wretched man that God helps. So I don't know if you're following me tonight, but Lazarus is a picture of you and a picture of me. It's a type of the flesh and the spirit, the war that goes on constantly. And I want to tell you something tonight, young people. Don't be deceived about this. Don't think that one day you're going to arrive and this struggle is never going to end. I love the way Pastor Patrick ends most of the message. He picks up the flesh and he says, this is always going to be flesh. But what we are promised is that we have dominion. We can cast down. We can cast aside. We're not the same when Christ comes into our lives. We don't have to put up with it anymore. Sin doesn't have the last say in our lives. Hallelujah. So let me ask you, do you feel powerless? Hopeless? Is there something going on in your heart, something going on in your mind that leads you into a tomb, into a grave? You feel that you are just helpless, hopeless. You have no strength. You've given up in this area. Or at the same time, you get up day after day after day and you begin to make promises to God. You begin to tell him how you're going to overcome this. You grit your teeth. You clench your fist. You put this confidence in something that you're going to do for him. Is anybody there tonight? Yes. In verse 4, he says, this sickness is not unto death. No, it will happen for the glory of God, so that the Son of God will be glorified. And I want to suggest to you, there is a debt that can bring glory to God. Amen? There is a debt that can be glory to God. Lazarus, you and me, the flesh and the spirit, constantly at war. It goes like this. The things I want to do, I do not do. The things I don't want to do, I find myself doing. But thanks be to God, amen? Oh, wretched man that I am. You hear Paul cry out. We cry out constantly. Whether you cry out or not, the best thing you can do is learn to cry, oh, wretched man that I am, and agree that we are helpless and hopeless and powerless. In verse 15, he's telling them, that Lazarus, they think he's saying he's sleeping. Lazarus, and Jesus is saying he's dead, and like I feel like the Lord is saying to us tonight, no, what you think is death, I look at it like a cat nap. Amen? What you think it's too late, too far gone, I'm looking at it as you're just taking a nap. Amen? Because there's no corpse. There's nothing that can stay dead in the presence of a resurrected Savior. Are you with me here tonight? And he goes and he starts talking to Martha and Mary, and I kind of call this like this Eminem's Christianity, where I could believe you that you could have saved my brother from death, but I can't believe that now that he's dead, you could raise him, you know? And Jesus is on a mission. He stays back a couple of days. You know, if you're feeling like, where is God in my situation? You know, there's a dual thing happening, because sometimes Jesus will come with a step back kind of love. He'll let you go through your little turmoil till you get yourself exhausted and you use all your human strength and all your human effort, and it's a step back kind of love. But I tell you, when you're wondering, he said, I'm glad for your sakes I wasn't there. Now, what is he glad about? He's glad because he's taking them to a greater level of faith. And the only way he's going to take them to a faith is for them to lose confidence in himself, in ourselves, and that we would place our faith in God. The Bible says have faith in God, not in being set free. Have faith in God, and then we can speak to these mountains and they can move. Amen. And so it's a kind of like a step back kind of love, because God is getting ready to do something supernatural. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You give up all confidence in your flesh. You stop it. You stop clenching. Oh, how many of you called somebody this morning and tried to talk it out or got up and made more promises to God and you can't see your way out of it. You can't think your way out of it. You don't know what to do. You feel dead. Oh, I tell you, you're in a good place tonight. Amen? Hallelujah. And so what you're experiencing right now, and God will allow you to go through this because he wants to break the back of unbelief in you. He wants to break it. He wants to break the belief that you have in yourself so that you would place it in him. And he wants to break unbelief because unbelief is the root of all sin. What you're struggling with tonight, your besetting sin, is not the actual sin. It's the root of unbelief that says this: God isn't who he says he is, and he can't do what he says he's going to do. You can always tell a person in unbelief because they're rebellious. They can't stay under authority. They pull themselves out. And it's not really the sin. It's the it's the unbelief that they're in that won't believe in a Savior that says, I could do for you what you can't do for yourselves. And so this death is a necessary process, and we have to get beyond the grave to the resurrection. Amen? Thank God Mary stood there and lingered and lingered and lingered until the Savior was risen. Are you with me here tonight? And so he starts talking to Martha and Mary, and they begin to just have this discourse. But he's not, Jesus is not like, duh, why don't you get it? He's with you in your struggle. He knows right where you are tonight. He's not afraid of your failures, your questions, your sin confess. But tonight, I tell you, he wants to throw a death blow to that. Are you with me here? You see, because unbelief limits God to act in your present. It limits God to act in your present. You're thinking it's something in the by and by. That's why she said, oh, I know you're the Messiah. At the last day, there'll be a resurrection. He's like, I am the resurrection. I am the resurrection. It takes him out of the text, puts it into a person, takes him out of the past, puts him in the present. I am that I am, right here, right now, resurrection, always now kind of God. Hallelujah. Don't limit God to what he wants to do right here tonight. Right here tonight. But listen, only a dead man could hear this. Only a dead man. The Bible says the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear will live. Because this death is working in you a greater power that you would begin to depend on the Lord. Amen? And I just thinking about this message, and I was just so overwhelmed because I just started thinking about, I wish you guys could have saw me when I first walked into this church. I wish you could have known me. Because when I walked into here, I was twisted like a pretzel. I was out of Egypt and I got saved. But then Egypt has to come out of us. And I think that's where we get tripped up. I think that's where we begin to think that we should be this and when we're that. And I just loved God. Oh, I love Jesus. I didn't want to get married. I didn't want a best friend. As a matter of fact, all my friends left me. God separated me. I sit right up there in that balcony, and all I wanted was Jesus. All I wanted to do was read his word. All I wanted was a prayer life. All I wanted to do was linger in his presence. I wish you could have saw me. I was full of shame and insecurity. I was confused about my identity. I had fear and pain and rejection. I was like Lazarus, wrapped up in grave clothes, with the stench of my own thinking and the stench of my own emotions. And I didn't know how to get out of it. I'm sitting here and I'm sitting in that balcony, and yes, I'm saved, but how do I not think homosexual? If I am a mafia manipulator, how do I think 9 to 5? How do I do this? If I am so shamed because of ungodly sexual relations and an abortion that when it just took just the whole life out of me, I never really saw myself the same anymore. How do I think without this shame slipping and sliding all over me? How do we do this? How do we do this? How do I stop feeling like I don't want to kill myself? Is anybody listening to me tonight? How do I do this? How do I stop this? And I remember the first time I ever heard a covenant promise. Oh, I think you're going to be surprised. No, I wasn't even saved. I wasn't even saved, but I tell you, God can do the impossible. He began to break through with this one scripture. And I remember somebody telling me, go to a bookstore and find out what your name is. This is way before I got saved, 8 months before I got saved. And I was in a party with my girlfriend and a bunch of my homosexual friends in a drunken stupor. And something inside of me said, go find out what your name is. And so I grabbed one of the guys that I was with, and we went. And I walked into this bookstore. It was a Catholic bookstore. And I saw it right away. As soon as I walked in, there was a plaque on the wall. And it said, on the plaque, it said, Lisa, devoted one. And underneath it said, Ezekiel, I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will take your stony heart and give you a heart of flesh. I will give you a new heart. I will give you a new mind. And I will cause you to walk in my statutes. I'm telling you, this thing just gripped me. I couldn't shake it. So I go back to the party, and I find the Bible that I must have stole from a hotel. I open it up, and I go into the yard where everybody's carrying on, and I find Ezekiel in the Bible. And I go, listen to this, guys. And I start reading what I just said to you. And then I close the book, and I said, I'm going to be a preacher. And they all laughed at me. Oh, praise God. The foolish things of the world to confound the wise. But get this. Devoted one. That's what my name means. He takes things that are not as if they already are. And by God's grace, I am totally devoted to him. I am devoted to him. I love him. I am gripped by him. I sat right in that balcony. I remember one time, it was a Tuesday night, Claude Hoobs was preaching a message, and it was after the service, he preached, desire determines destiny. What you desire will lead you to your destiny. And I'm like, I just desire you. There's nothing I desire. And people were running out to get to the parking lot. It was after 9, and oh, I stayed up in that balcony, and the presence of God, the resurrection power of God, is anybody hearing me tonight, came down in this place. I was underneath the seat like this, and I heard God say, I'm going to raise you up, and you're going to preach my gospel. And I was like, I believe, help my unbelief. But this scripture, and I said to the Lord, Lord, if this is you, speak it. He began to speak to me about Isaiah 42, verses 6 to 8. I'll raise you up. I'll make you a light to the Gentiles. You'll open door, prison doors. And I'm like, Lord, if this is you, prove it. And Pastor Carter get up and goes, I have a word for somebody. And he started reading Isaiah 42, verses 6 to 8. Come on now. Oh. Jesus rose up, life came in, death walked out, no more sin. Hallelujah. Every single altar call. I'm talking to you tonight. I hope you're learning something. I didn't care if it was a man, mass murderer. I was at this altar. I had this big old Bible. I was so spiritual, people couldn't stand to be around me. And I would walk like this. I was so hunched. And I would just continue to give myself to God and offer myself to God. I didn't really fellowship so much. All my Saturdays I gave to the Lord. Let me tell you, he is faithful. He will never fail you. He has never failed me. I've never asked for anything. He's taken me places I couldn't even imagine. God has a plan for you. It's so simple. We complicate it. It's not what you're going to do for him. It's what he does in and through us through the power of the spirit of a resurrected life. Amen. God is calling us to be evidence that Jesus Christ is alive, that he sits at the right hand of all power, and that whosoever will can be set free. So Lazarus. Now, I can tell you, and you would believe me, because I know a little bit of what Lazarus was going through in this tomb. Can you picture it? This is you. This is me. He's in a tomb. It's dark. It's stinky. You know, it stinks, right? Martha said. And he's like, he's bound. He's in a tomb, but he's wrapped up. His hands are bound. His feet are bound. He can't think his way. He can't speak his way. He can't do anything. Are you there yet? Are you there yet? Are you getting the picture? Sometimes God has to lead us into places where we know that we know that we know we can't get out. He's thinking, sin is calling the shots in my life. Old ways of doing things ain't cutting it anymore. The old man is doing a number on him. Are you with me? He's depressed. He knows that he knows. What could he be doing in that tomb? Oh, what a beautiful thing if we get like this tonight. And he's there, and all of a sudden, I think, like, even his heart, because he was dead, his heart is failing, his lungs are slowing down, all hope for life is gone. He knows that he knows that he knows he can't do it. And all of a sudden, I tell you, God came. I tell you, I believe a pen of God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, began to autograph the promises of God on this guy's heart. I believe that he was just helpless and hopeless, and all of a sudden, when God knew that he knew, that he was convinced he couldn't do it, I believe it goes like this. I'm here to help you. I will hold you by my righteous right hand. I will put my laws in your mind. I will write them on your heart. I will be God to you. I have a plan for you. No weapon formed against you will prosper. I had made an everlasting covenant with you. I am merciful to your sins. I will never stop doing good to you. I will put a desire in your heart to worship me. I will forgive all your sins. I will forget all your sins. Say amen at any time. I will give you the spirit of revelation. I will empower you over sin, hell, the devil, every demon, every weapon that's formed against you. I'll sprinkle clean water on you. A new heart, a new spirit, a new mind, new friends. I'll give it all to you. Oh, come on! He says, roll away the stone. Roll away the stone. The stone is a hard heart of unbelief. How do you get out of it? You choose faith. You choose Christ. You choose that which we yield to, we will obey. It's a choice. And when God tells you to choose, he's going to back you up and enable you with the power to choose. You can't squeeze your way out of it. You can't muster up enough strength. You have to surrender. And the death is to self. Amen? All your ideas, all your minds, all your hope, up in that back, I'm like, all my hopes, all my dreams, everything, Lord, I don't want anything but you. Oh, that's such a beautiful place to be, because you get it. You get Jesus. You get Jesus. And when you get him, everything else falls into place. Oh, he said, if you believe, you would see the glory of God. You would see this glory, the glory of the Father, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives inside of us, the same power. And every time I would get into situations, I remember when I came out of that relationship with the girl and they said, oh, you can't hang out anymore, because she got saved too. Amen. The devil went down double. And oh, you can't. Come on now. She said, you can't hang out with her because God wants to cleanse this thing out. You know, some of you may need to separate. Because I was so emotionally tied to this person that I thought I would die without her. And I thought that was true love. Oh, you see, anybody suffers being attacked with homosexual spirits, I tell you something, you were not born that way. God created us male and female to glorify and worship him. And it will deceive you, it will distort you, it will misshape in you, it will take you and make you something that Satan always wants to counterfeit God's love. He wants to pervert God's love, and it's not true. And even though the feelings could be so profound, we're more than feelings, it's facts, amen? And I remember that I loved God, but I couldn't break this thing. And I remember, Ezekiel, I will cause you you to obey me. And I, every time I would put my hand on the phone to go call, the resurrection power would come in my heart. The resurrection power and remind me, all things are past, all things are new. You don't think that way. You're not that way anymore. This is not your life anymore. And I would put my hand on the phone and say, cause me to obey you. And power would come down in that moment. He will never leave you. He makes a way of escape. He makes a way of escape. It comes. The way of escape is Jesus. But it comes not, it comes at the same time of the temptation. Don't be fooled here tonight. It says with the temptation, boom, comes the way out. Now, are you going to believe in the power of the devil or Christ? Oh, I don't know what you're struggling here tonight, but God wants to set somebody free here tonight. And in verse 40, Jesus prayed. Oh, and I love this. Let me read this prayer. He said, let me read verse 40. Jesus responded, didn't I tell you that you would see God's glory if you believe? So they rolled the stone aside, and then Jesus looked up to heaven. And check out this prayer. I love this. He said, Father, I thank you for hearing me. He didn't say all the stuff that Lazarus. And then he said, because you always hear me. You know, when you're covenanted with God, he wasn't praying for something that was going to be done, that he needed to do. He was praying for something that was already done. Do you understand? The work of God is completed. You are on the other side of the cross. And when you come to God, he's already done for you what you can't do for yourself. He said, what you can't do, I've already done. Just enter in, agree with me, understand that I'm with you. He will empower you to get through every situation and begin to thank him. You don't have to pray your whole scenario of your struggle. Just say, Father, I thank you. You hear me. You always hear me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's no corpse that could stand in the presence of a resurrected Savior. And the evidence that you are dead. Now, this is, Paul says, I die daily. Don't think you're going to get out of here and you're going to walk out and this day ain't going to start again. But you have dominion over it. You're the head, not the tail. Come on. Come on, guys. We got Jesus living inside of us. It doesn't get any better than that. He's seated in John 12, verse 1. You got to picture this. You got to follow Lazarus' life. He's seated at the table on the right hand of Jesus. And the table is spread for him. You know that he makes a table in the midst of our enemies, what you need, when you need it, and why you need it. And he's now, Lazarus, is resting. Because Hebrews says when you mix the word with faith, we enter into rest. We enter into those promises. We agree with God. He's fully persuaded and fixed the promises of God, the power of God, the provision of God, and your position, which is seated with Christ Jesus in heavenly places. You see, you may be struggling, and that's your condition. But your position is seated with Christ Jesus in heavenly places where no devil, no demon, nothing can touch you above all principality and power. And the next thing you see in John 12 verses 9 to 21 is people are gathering around to see this dead man that's alive now. And I want to say to you tonight, the evidence that the resurrection power, that you're dead to sin, alive in Christ, it's not what you feel like, not because you're going to keep repeating it over and over again with a hyper faith gospel. No, it's because you're going to simply agree. You know what? You know how you, I'm unwrapping you right now. The Word of God is unwrapping you right now. The Holy Spirit is unwrapping you right now. And you see that people are coming to see this dead man that was alive. And this is my point to you guys. It's time to arise in the resurrection power of Christ to show the world and manifest his glory. The glory, he says, it's Christ in you, your hope of glory. The Christ that's in you, the glory of God in you, so that a sick and dying world can see there is a Savior. He died for us. He loves us. They need to see this. Just, I want you to open up your hearts to the Lord. And it's just a very simple altar call. I want to die to self. Unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. There's something that was said, I don't need to do particulars. God is tugging on your heart. You're sick and tired of being sick and tired. I tell you, you're being unwrapped right now. It's the Word of God. God, I'm going to believe that you are who you say you are, and you do things just the way you say you're going to do it, and I want this life. I believe I already have it. I'm coming for a fresh touch. I want to live in resurrection power. I want to be a minister at my home. I want to be a minister in my school. I want to stand up for Christ. I'm tired of being sin sick. I'm tired of sin confess, and I just want to lift up my hands and take you at your word tonight. I want to die to self. You come to this altar and the Lord will minister to you. Amen. I just really feel some of you are standing here tonight and you feel so much shame just because of situations in your life. Maybe someone handled you in a way that they had no business handling you. Maybe you've been abused verbally and physically, and maybe just the shame of just what you used to do. And I feel like the Lord wants to break that shame over your mind, because it's affecting how you think. It's affecting how you see yourself. It's affecting decisions you make. It's affecting your relationships. And the Bible says that for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. He despises the shame. And I want to just pray with you. And I want to encourage you tonight that God wants to be God to you tonight. He wants you to simply take him at his word. Lay down all your worries and all your struggles and all your failures. Because the good thing about the tomb was, what needs to die will never rise up again. Amen. Don't forget, there was a tomb and there was a death. And what comes up in resurrection life is a life gripped by the Spirit and the power of Jesus Christ, amen, which is clean and pure. And when you need him most, he'll rise up in your heart and he'll rise up in your mind and it'll explode in your emotions exactly when you need him. So shut in with God, close your eyes, and let me pray for you. Thank you, Father, that you hear us. You always hear us. Thank you for the blood of Jesus that cleanses our hearts and minds right now. And Holy Spirit, I thank you that you will wash and cleanse and move all over this place, in the rooms of our hearts, in the depths where nobody could reach but you, Holy Spirit. Thank you. Thank you. In the mind, where there's torment and thoughts repeated over and over again. Thank you, Jesus, that the power is being broken over the mind tonight. That torment is being broken tonight in the name of Jesus. That wounded hearts are being healed and shattered emotions are being mended. And Lord, I lift you up in this place and I thank you that you will do what only you could do. Lord, I pray for your resurrection life, your resurrection power. Lord, I'm asking you for purity. I'm asking you for purity in their hearts and purity in their minds. I'm asking you for a presence that could be felt. And Lord, I stand against all the principalities and power of darkness, and I command the grip of Satan to be broken in the name of Jesus. Yes. Over the lives of your people, over the minds of your people, over the hearts of your people. Lord, I take down every spirit of homosexuality, and Lord, I thank you that you are destroying shame right now, that you are destroying shame right now, God. Yes, and you are releasing your power and you are releasing your spirit. And Lord, I thank you that you will rise up, God. I thank you for liberty, God. I thank you for peace in this place tonight. Yes. I thank you for new hearts and new minds, God, and new relations, God. I thank you that you're breaking ungodly alliances right now. I thank you that you're breaking them right now. I thank you that you're breaking pornography right now. I thank you that you're breaking it right now, Lord, because you are faithful, God, and we believe you. Oh, God, I thank you. Now, Lord, fill us with your Holy Spirit. Fill us fresh, God. We're thirsty. We're hungry. We're desperate. Fill your people. Fill your church. Let it rain down tonight. Let us be filled with the Holy Spirit, God, with new freshness, God, and new love for you, God. And I pray that every person here, Lord, within the sound of my voice, would be moved to intimacy with you. We would fall in love with you and you alone, would desire you and you alone. Break idolatry tonight, God. Let them be in that secret place, God. Let them worship you like never before, Lord. And let it be done all by your Spirit, God. Lord, all they need to do is show up, Lord. Show yourself strong and mighty. And we give you all the glory and all the honor in Jesus' name.